You can go to junior church at this time. Junior church, children, you are dismissed. We've been talking about next steps in this new year, spiritual steps that God wants us to be taking, next steps. And this introduction today is talking about being spiritually ADD, attention deficit disorder. Sometimes that's the way I am. I guess that's a slide to show you that you're not to go to sleep. You'll start that again, Ben. Need some volume on it? By the way, that is a touchy computer. If you know how to fix that touchiness, I would appreciate that. Last week, before they get started, last week we talked about how that really being a Christian involves spiritual disciplines. And if you're ever going to grow spiritually, it's not going to be by just coming to church Sunday morning and going home. It's going to be by taking the time to exercise yourself in spiritual disciplines. This morning we're going to look at two of those in specific: the Bible, reading the Bible, and prayer. This video is just a reminder of that, and you'll need to turn the lights down probably a little bit staying on track. Overcoming our spiritual ADD. How many of you have ever realized that your ADD that you were as a child extends into adulthood? Anybody besides me? I tell you, being an ADD person is tough. It's kind of like this guy who prays, and he starts to pray, and he's thinking in prayer, and he says, "Dear God, thank you for this day. I've got a lot to do today. I mean, I got to meet with Joe, and oh, I got to cut the grass. Oh, Lord, poof." Think, why did I pray that? Those thoughts come into your head. Or, give us this day our daily bread, and oh yeah, Papa John's. I like Papa John's. Things come into your head, don't they? You're praying and seriously, do you ever do that? You ever pray and just stuff comes out of nowhere and comes into your head. And you beat yourself up and you say, where did that thought come from? I don't know what it is about prayer and Bible reading, but there are so many things that distract us. If you're like me with ADD, you'll start and you'll sit down and you're going to read your Bible, right? And the coffee finishes. So you got to get up and get the coffee. Then the phone rings. And then something, and all of a sudden you're diverted from what you were doing. Has that ever happened to you? It's very hard, isn't it, to stay focused and stay on track with having your devotions. It's a very hard thing. It's not an easy thing. And the reality is that if we have ADD or spiritual ADD, we can get distracted and we get lost. and it's hard to stay focused. And we can be praying for something else, and something comes into our mind. And then usually, and I find myself doing this, I've got to go, so I say, Lord, I'm sorry about this prayer. It was kind of weak, but we'll talk again soon, you know. I don't know how you do that sometimes, but that's the way I do it. And I hope that you understand, and I hope you can connect with what I'm talking about. 84% of people in the United States pray. I think people have a desire to pray, but it's not something that we do as well as we should do. And I call this frustration spiritual ADD, because I can be so easily distracted away from what I need to be doing, and I lose focus of my importance of that time with God. And I mean that with all my heart. There's always interruptions that happen. And so we want to talk to God. The desire is there. That's not the problem. I looked up ADHD, and it stands, obviously, as you know, for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. It's a disorder defined by inattention or impulsivity. We are moved by impulse. We're doing something, and then our impulse takes us somewhere else and takes our mind somewhere else. It affects our functioning and development. A person with ADD often avoids and dislikes or is reluctant to engage in tasks, please hear this, that require sustained mental effort, such as schoolwork or homework, or for older adolescents and adults, preparing reports, completing forms. How many of you like to read directions? I hate directions. But I always have to go back to them. And it's the toughest thing for me. They're often easily distracted by extraneous stimuli. And anyway, the issue is more in how. How do I start and sustain a walk with God? And I want to say this first, that to start a walk with God, first you have to be saved. If you're going to start a walk with God, you need to have a relationship with God. And the only way to have a relationship with God is through who? Through Jesus. Through Jesus Christ. And unless you have come to believe that Christ died on the cross, Christ is the Son of God, the only born Son of God, become flesh. Born, he died, he was nailed to the cross for your sins and my sins. And he took the spiritual penalty for my sins when he died. He arose the third day and ascended back to his Father's right hand. And the only way we can have a relationship with the Father is through our faith and trusting in Jesus Christ as our Lord first, that he's our Lord and he's our Savior. And so when we come to believe in Christ as our Lord and our Savior, then we can begin a relationship with God. And if you've never made that step, if you've never taken that step, and if you're here visiting with us for the first time and you've never known about Jesus, we want to talk to you anytime. Call us and we want to talk to you about your eternal soul. But the issue with Christians is not so much of to do it. It is to do it, but how? How do we start to sustain a walk with God? Have you ever sat down and tried to talk to somebody who doesn't talk much? That's a very hard thing to do, isn't it? You ask them how they're doing. Fine. That's it. You ask them a question and you expect, and they give you a 2 or 3 word answer, and you're trying to pull information out to create a conversation, and they don't talk. That's just their personality. Can you imagine talking? It's hard enough to talk to some people we can see, isn't it? How much more difficult is it to pray to somebody we can't see or to talk to somebody that we can't see? He's there, but the only way we can see him is by faith. And I'm trying to say that there's a lot of things that make it harder for people to connect in a relationship with the Lord. Last week we talked about how God wants you to grow in spiritual maturity. It's His will that you grow up spiritually. Just like, as I said last week about a baby who starts out a baby, if 2 weeks later they were a 21-year-old adult in body, that'd be no way. It's a growing process that we, and it's God's will that we grow up spiritually by increments. And that you start here, but you don't end there. You start there and you begin to grow. You begin to mature. And you begin to grow to know Jesus and what He's like. And you begin to then become one with Him in your life. It's God's will that you grow in spiritual maturity. It's true that He loves you the way you are, but He doesn't want you to stay there. It's just like with our kids. Don't you want your kids to grow up? How many of you want your kids to be babies the rest of their life? You don't want her to become a teenager, that's what you're... But we all want our kids to grow up, don't we? We want them to mature, don't we? Seriously. How much do you want your children to mature mentally and emotionally? Do you think it's any different with God? Do you know what it's like to be a 30-year-old emotional baby? A 30-year-old that wants to punch people physically? And they're your son? Do you know what it's like to have a 30-year-old adult child who's still going from affair to affair to affair? You want your children, don't you, to grow up and mature in wisdom. And so does God. God doesn't want you to remain a spiritual infant. And the only way you're going to grow up and mature spiritually is to have a relationship with Him in His word and in prayer. And that's what we're talking about today. Now, I want to look at just a few people from Scripture. And turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 12. I want to look at Abraham's practice of how he, everywhere he went, he worshiped and built an altar to please God, to worship God. In Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he, that is Abram, that is Abraham, built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now, why did he build an altar to the Lord? To worship Him. He wanted a place that he could spend time and worship God. And so he built this altar, and it was a physical place. All right, it was a physical place, and he built it there to worship and probably to offer his sacrifices and to give his worship to the Lord. Now notice in verse 9 of the same chapter. I'm going to start in verse 8 because I can't find verse 9. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Again, do you get the picture? Everywhere. You wonder why Abraham had a heart after God? Because he worshiped God in his daily life. His daily life, God was a very valuable part of his relationship with the Lord. In chapter 13, the very next chapter, look at verse 1. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been, at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. Notice it says verse 4. To what? The place of the altar. The place of the altar which he had made there at the first. The altar was the center of Abram's life. Do you understand what I'm saying here? And it's got to be the center of your life. Father, dads, moms, teenagers, children. It's got to be your relationship and worship of God has to be the center of your heart's desires. And we could go on to verse 18 where it says the same thing, that Abraham built an altar there to the Lord. And when he moved again to Mamre in Hebron, he built an altar there. You see, and on we could go and talk about Abraham's desire to honor God, like giving the tenth to God. Now look at with me, if you would, to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Oh boy, here's the clicker, guys. That's the famous clicker. That's the last slide. That's a problem. Can we get to the first slide? Sorry about that. Help, help. Yep, there it is. Go to the next slide. There we go, good. All right. I don't think that's the slide, but the second slide, number 2. There we are, Daniel's practice. Okay, if we could get that to just that slide. Well, anyway, Daniel 6:10. It says this. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, that he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. 3 times a day was his practice to worship God. I still don't have a clicker, so let's just forget that. It's fine. That thing, the devil's in that thing, I think. Yeah. I think you're going to have to move it, though, because my clicker's not moving it. Do you have the thing plugged into the computer for the clicker? There we go. All right. I want to skip over Acts 10:9. That's just where Peter went up to pray. But Jesus, look at what it says about Jesus. And very early in the morning when it's still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. I think Jesus did this every morning. I know Jesus did this every morning. He constantly, and at night, remember, he would go to the Garden of Gethsemane when they were in Jerusalem. And every night, that's how Judas knew where to find him. Because every night, Jesus did the same thing in going to the garden to pray. But Jesus, this was his spiritual practice. And every night, he did this. Every morning, and I think every night. I still don't have a clicker. I'm ready. A quiet time is a daily time that I set aside to seek God and to know him through the Bible reading and prayer. Go ahead. I don't know why this clicker is not working. Now, why do I need, and I say this, you need this, hear me, how many of you will go home to eat lunch today? You're not going to go home to eat lunch? I'm kidding. We love to eat, don't we? Seriously, do you know you need spiritual nourishment more than your earthly meals? You need your relationship with God. Why do you need it? Okay, quick, next. Our mental health. Any of you struggle with mental health? Some of the brightest people struggle with mental health. But you know, if you really want to re-energize and deal with helping your mind, read the Bible. Click next. It re-energizes. You stop and read and pray, and all of a sudden you will be re-energized with hope. Next. How about joy? How many times have I bowed my knee at this front chair with a broken heart over things that I couldn't control? And I went to prayer thinking I wanted to start throwing things overboard. But I got up from prayer and I was re-energized and with joy. And I knew I could go forward. And next, peace. How about peace? A peace. Prayer is a re-energizer. And I want to go to some scripture. Click next if you would, please. Time with God drains me of my own human weakness and fills me with God's strength. Isaiah chapter 40. If you'll turn there with me. Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 6, and I read this for one reason. This is the prophet. He was called by God to preach, and the voice said, "Cry out." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass." All right? We're all like the grass. And all our loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are like grass. The grass withers. Aren't we withering? Those wrinkles, those brown spots on my face and on my body, I'm going the way of the salmon, guys. And so are you. We're all going the way of the salmon. We lay our eggs and we start to die, and fertilize our eggs, and then we start going downhill. All right? The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Now, we trust in humans. We trust in flesh, which is like grass. And we trust in our beauty, don't we? That fades like the flowers. But the word of God is something that lasts forever and is such an invigorating thing. Now, I want you to turn to the end of that chapter and look at verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints, he's never tired, he's never weary, okay? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Have you ever felt weak? Spiritually or physically or mentally weak? He gives power to the weak. And the word power means vigor or energy. He gives energy to the weak. Now listen. And those who have no might, he increases strength. The word might, meaning those who have no might, is to pant after, to exert oneself, but usually in vain. But I'm not going to get into the Hebrew words. But he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But listen, those who wait on the Lord. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about that you have a relationship, and you decide that instead of worrying yourself to death, which I do and you do, you get down on your knees and you pray and you wait on the Lord. You give it to the Lord. Those who have learned to wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And the word renew is the word to exchange. They shall exchange their strength. It's the word of a flower breaking through the ground, from going from the seed form to the flower, and it breaks through the ground. Do you understand? They'll renew their strength. They'll break through problems. Those who wait on the Lord shall break through their problems. And then it says, they shall mount up with wings like an eagle. And the word mount is the word they shall ascend up on with wings like an eagle. In other words, you're going to get above your problem. You're going to get beyond your problem when you wait on the Lord. You're going to exchange your weakness that you feel and the agony and the pain and the helplessness that you feel, and you're going to be re-energized. That's why you need to have your devotions and have your time with God. Instead of walking around depressed and mentally confused and not wanting sometimes to get out of bed, wait on the Lord. Because you'll renew your strength, you'll ascend up with wings like an eagle, you'll run, you'll move quickly, and you'll not be weary, and you'll walk and not faint. Why do I need the disciplines of Bible reading and prayer? My mental health. You see, I'll exchange my human weakness for his divine strength. Go on. Time with God drains me of my own will. Have you ever? Oh my. Maybe you ever go to prayer and God wants you to do something you don't want to do. I'm dead serious. God wants you to do something and you don't want to do it. I don't want to forgive that person. I don't want to do it. I don't want to stay married. I want to quit my job. Did Jesus want to go to the cross? That's a legitimate question. What did he pray in the garden? Is there any other way, if you could take this cup from me, if there's any other way to accomplish what your desire is to save mankind? And then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. You know where he said that? In prayer. And I'm saying that sometimes we can lose ourselves and achieve the mind and the attitude of Jesus Christ through prayer. That's just common sense to me, and to you, I hope, too. But thirdly, spending time with God in his word and in prayer allows him to speak to me and me to speak to him about my cares. Anybody in here got problems and cares? And I mean real issues that you don't see any way out. And I'm telling you that God answers prayer. God can do far beyond what we could ask or think through Jesus Christ. And spending time with God and spending time with prayer, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. And then it says this, casting all your cares. And the word cares is the word anxieties. Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand if you got anxieties here this morning. I got some anxieties on my plate right now. Casting all your anxieties upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. And you know what it really says in the Greek? Because you are his concern. You are God's concern. You're his child. And your relationship with the Lord means all the difference in the world with really invigorating and renewing your whole life on a daily basis. Go on, please. Why do I need disciplines in prayer? Next. It brings you God's blessing. God looks for the person who is seeking him, doesn't he? The eyes of the Lord go to and fro over the whole earth, looking for the man who seeks me. Now, Look at some scriptures. Hit them both. You might as well hit them both. Joshua 1:8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate. Did you hear? Meditate. You know what meditate is. I know you know. Meditate. I'm not talking about transcendental meditation. This book is to be meditated in. It's just not to be read. It's to be churned in your mind. And so got a couple farmers back to back here. How does a cow chew its cud or grass? Takes it in, chews it up, right? Then what's it do? Swallows it, and then what's it do? It regurgitates it. It brings it up again and chews it some more. It gets all the nourishment it can out of what it takes in. That's what meditation is. To take in the Bible, think about it. Not just read it. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. It means to meditate in it. It means to read it, think on it, and pray. But notice what, then you will be prosperous, or when you obey it, that you might be careful to do what's written in it. Then you'll be prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Now, I know, raise your hand if you want to be a failure. This is America, right? There's not too many people in America that want to be a failure. We all want to be a success. You want to be a success, truly? And you know where it comes from? God's blessing. And I mean that with all my heart. God's blessing will bring you success. His word, meditating in it and obeying it, will bring you prosperity and success. The very next verse, Psalm 1, 2 and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the riverbank that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf will never wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I love the promises of God's word. Why do we not make it our priority? The promises of blessing, the promises of renewing our personal lives, it's so valuable to us. But here's what happens. We get diverted. Our intentions are good. We sit down to read it, and we get diverted. It happens so easily, doesn't it? And so that's why I'm preaching these messages. Next steps. Go ahead, next. Some practical items needed for Bible study. Let's go quickly. A pen. How many? Now, you have a pen. A notebook and a study Bible. The most important ingredient that I needed when I got saved was a study Bible. A Bible that I didn't know the Bible at all. And I was reading back then the King James Old English Bible that some of you love and revere. I didn't understand it. That's all there was. And I didn't understand it. That's all anybody had. And I didn't understand it. Somebody gave me a Scofield Study Bible. And in the middle was references that I could read the verse, go into the middle reference, find other references to go to look at other, and then I began to understand more. And I began to grow. And now they have Bibles that have a running commentary at the bottom to help you understand some of the most difficult scriptures you'll ever read. And it's such a wonderful thing to have a good study Bible. And I recommend two good study Bibles. One, to me, is John MacArthur's study Bible. To me, the best one is John MacArthur. Another very good one is David Jeremiah. Has a good study Bible out. They're in different translations. The New King James is very good. But say, why do I need a pen? Well, you need a pen because God's going to speak to you in his word, and you're going to want to mark your Bible where he spoke to you. For example, the other day I was reading where Jacob Remember, he worked 7 years to marry Rachel. Worked 7 years hard labor to get his wife Rachel. He went into his tent. He assumed it was Rachel. He got up and it says, and when it was morning, Jacob saw it was Leah, this other sister. It wasn't Rachel. And I always, and it said, and in the morning. And I thought, that's just another way of saying, you reap what you sow in the morning. Jacob had sowed deceit his whole life. And in the morning, he reaped deceit. Right? Truly. That phrase in the morning, though, spoke to me. Because what we do with our lives comes up in the morning. It talks about what you sow, you what? You can't sow corn and get tomatoes. Whatever you sow, you reap. That's why you can't get away with sin. Because your sin will come back to you in the morning. And so God spoke to my heart and corrected me. But practical items you're going to need. A pen, and I wrote down in my Bible that lesson I learned. Now, if you keep a notebook, which I'm going to start keeping a notebook, I'm going to journal my devotions, going to write it down, and go to the next slide if you would. If you want to really dig in, ask Pastor Aaron. Pastor Aaron far exceeds me. I want you to know that. God has really blessed this young man. And he far exceeds me with a lot of things. And one is some tools. He knows more tools on the internet than I'll ever know. The only tools I know is the Greek and the Bible and Strong's Concordance. Very simple thing. But he can tell you other tools. You can go online and you can look up Greek. And I'm just trying to say that there are all kinds of tools. So see Aaron, I can tell you a few things, but if you need Bible study, go ahead. Now use soap. How many of you use soap today? You think I'm being silly, don't you? You need to use soap every day. Say, what do you mean? Well, let me tell you what I mean. Scripture. Get that notebook. Write down the scripture that you're reading. Secondly, observations. Write down in a notebook simple teaching of the text. What is the text teaching me? Or how did God speak to me? Which is A, application. You'll read it. God will open your eyes to something, show you some truth, and write it down. P, prayer. There's your devotions. There it is. Soap, those four letters. It's right there. Just use soap every day. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I like that. Use soap every day, and you'll help to keep the devil away. Scripture, write down the observations. Write down the applications that you learned, such as I talked about in the morning, where God spoke to you. And by the way, God will speak to you. He will open your eyes to see things that you just can't imagine. And prayer. Go on if you would, please. Now, two things you must do. You must decide to start and maintain your walk. Number one, go ahead. Select a time. You got to have a time. Say, why do you need a time? Tell me, why do you need a set time to meet with God? Why? You need a habit. You need to build a habit. If you're haphazard with your time, you'll be haphazard with your devotions. You need to set a time. If you just spend time with God when you're not busy, guess what? You're going to miss almost every day because you're always busy. If I don't have my devotions before I get to this office, chances are I'm not going to have my devotion. I walk into this office and there are 20 things that get my attention that I have to do. And that's just the truth. And I've learned you got to do your devotions in the morning, in coffee, and whatever else, toast or English muffin or bowl of cereal. But I got to do them. Now, if you're a mother with a child, that means you got to get up even earlier. Because you got to get up before the horde get up. That's not always easy. But you've got to select a time and select a place. In that movie, what did that lady tell her to do? You've got to have a prayer closet. You've got to have a room where you meet with God. Now, whether that room is a closet that you clean out that's very private, or whether that room is your dining room table, it's got to be quiet. You can't be having Sports Center and playing in the background. Did you hear that? You can't do it. Because you'll want to hear what the score of the Steeler game was. 100 times after they win. But seriously, I'm very serious. I'm very serious with this matter. You need to get those tools, a good study Bible, simple pen, and a notebook. Get those three things. Select a time and select a place where you go every day to meet with God. I think that's what Jesus did. I know that's what he did. I know it. Many times during the day. And if you're not doing that, go ahead. Here's the challenge. You ready for the challenge? Here we go. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How can you taste and see that the Lord is good? By taking this challenge. 30 days of Bible reading and prayer. Say, what do you want me to read? Well, 30 days of Bible reading and prayer. First of all, I want you to read. Go ahead, next. Start with reading a chapter each day if you're new to the Bible. Start with reading a chapter each day. And promise God you'll do that. Make a vow even. Well, we're told not to make vows, so. But I'll do that. I will read a chapter a day for the next 30 days. Well, where should I start? Go ahead. Start with John. The Gospel of John, the fourth book in the New Testament. Start reading a chapter a day and write down what God speaks to you about. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the highest privilege in this life to know you through your Son, Jesus Christ. A million times greater privilege than winning $1.5 billion. To know you and your Son, Jesus Christ. The happiest, most wonderful life that is on this earth. I pray if there's one here, Lord, that you know has never trusted in you, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, I pray that you'll draw them to yourself, that they would see their need of a relationship, a faith in you first. And then I pray for those who have made that step of commitment and faith in you, Jesus. I pray that they'll take this challenge, those who are not in this discipline. And I pray that they would taste and see that the Lord's word is good. And that you are a miraculous prayer answering God. And that if we'll cast all our anxieties upon you, that you will care and meet our needs. And lift us up to ascend high like wings of an eagle. You renew our lives. How we know this. Oh, I pray that many someone would take this challenge to grow spiritually, to not remain an emotional, spiritual baby, but to grow and get victory of you, Christ, in their life. And I pray these things for your sake and honor and glory, from the weakest to the strongest of us, I pray in Jesus, your name.